So let's show Jeff and Linda our appreciation. Hola.
Thank you, David. That was a wonderful, beautiful opening. Wonderful.
It helps when you love what you do.
Yes, it does. And some people say, you know, how do you do it? Because Linda and I will have about 125,000 air miles this year. That's a lot of time on an airplane.
Too much time.
I calculated
airplane.
It one time in between taking taxis to the airport.
No, I don't want to even hear.
And going through security, waiting in the lounge, sitting in an airplane. I think we're going to spend about 2 months this year just in that portion. I mean, ungrounded, so to speak, but trying to stay very grounded.
But seeing Shambra everywhere.
Yeah, some people say, how do you do it? And it's actually we love it. And love traveling with Norma and Garrett. And I found out you just do it. You don't think about it. You don't worry about it. You don't fret about it. And that's what happens so often with all of us. You know, we have something big in front of us, and then we get all caught up in it. And with this, you just do it. Although I have to admit, my Virgo comes out from time to time. I get a little impatient with lines at the airport. And I'm always looking at how they could do it more efficiently, you know. And if they just had a few more people, and if they just moved this line over here, and I drive myself crazy.
You're perfect.
Anyway, yes, we just got back. I feel rested up. I feel good.
Do you really?
I do, and I think it was just knowing we have the meeting here today, and knowing that tomorrow we get to leave again.
Rest is not.
But we're going to Lake Tahoe, so that's not so bad.
Not so bad.
We're doing
but
a sexual.
But we're home for just a couple days, and then we leave for Japan, Australia.
In Australia, yeah. Norman Garrett got home Thursday late afternoon, and you guys have permission to fall asleep under the pretense of
3 o'clock in the afternoon gets a little weird.
Oh yeah, and I know Joop is here from Holland. He just got in yesterday. Jet lag is a funny thing. You get up in the morning, like 3 in the morning, wide awake, ready for the day, and then about this time, 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you just want to pass out. Well, but then about 6 o'clock again, you're wide awake, ready to party, go to dinner, have a great time.
Usually that's when you pick up the car keys. It's like, okay, that's a good plan.
Yeah. Anyway, glad we're back.
Yep.
Good feeling in the group today. Kathumi would say it's a good-looking group.
Yes, it is.
You know, I don't know what it was, but last month was a little serious.
Oh, well, I thought you were going to say the group wasn't as handsome. I was like, don't even go there.
About 50% of the same group.
Whoa.
No, it was. I wasn't going to say it.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot ball.
Notice what she was thinking. No, the group looks good. Everybody's relaxed and casual and kind of smiley and. And must have been a good month going to your new house in the other realms. You remember that was the homework? You did your homework? Yeah, I didn't remember until last night. I was reading this for the slides. I was like, oh, damn, I was supposed to do that. So I did last night when I was first.
Was that
going.
The howling I heard in your sleep?
No, I have a really nice house in the other realms.
Why were you howling? I don't want to know.
That was something
I don't
want to
know.
I have a very nice house in the other realms.
It's, why are you howling in it?
I wasn't howling. That was snoring, darling, which I've taken up lately. It's a wonderful thing to do. In the middle of the night, and then Linda will like shove me and say, you're snoring. I said, no, I'm not. I'm sleeping. Right in the middle of a good dream. Be quiet. Let me go back to sleep. Snoring is good. Anyway, good-looking audience. Different feeling than last month. There was something a little heavy last month, and you know, it's just I don't know what it was, but this is good.
Well, something that John Kaderka brought up that I think is true is, you know, there's always a balance of people that we see that they come to the meetings on a regular basis, and then John says, how come about half of them are new every time? What does that mean about you guys?
Well, because they they don't come back after that.
Yeah, that's what he said. And I said, John, that's because his ability to broadcast
exactly.
is so good that people they go, wow, I'm feeling good.
You know, there's
people, I like Coal Creek Canyon, but man, I'm going to lay back and I'm going to watch it in my recliner.
I'd be doing the same. If I wasn't here, I'd be probably sitting at my house watching the show.
So it's John Kadarka's fault.
Or sleeping. One of the two.
So how many people have, is this the first time that you've been to the Coal Creek meeting? Quite a few. Okay.
Quite a few, yeah.
How many are chicken? Didn't want to raise your hand.
But you know, the other thing is, there's people here that have been coming for 5-6 years since almost the beginning.
Yep.
And they are here just being a regular part of the audience, helping us with the energy. It's incredible. So I know a lot of you are shy, but a show of hands, how many have been coming for 5-6 years?
Spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So anyway...
Okay. No, it's okay.
Yeah, we have a lot to cover today.
Yeah,
a lot to cover. So we're going to start with welcoming those people who are listening on the internet today. I think we generally have about 20,000 plus listeners that are tuning in, either watching the show or listening to the show.
Isn't John supposed to report to us how many there are? Doesn't he keep track of that? John, do you have any idea how many computers track? No, not at all.
Yeah, John, as long as the signal is good. And John, I have to say, when we're out traveling, people come up and hug us and thank you for making sure this gets on, and thanking the whole staff, running the cameras.
They truly do.
Doing the whole thing, the switchers and everything else. So I'll hug you later on behalf of them. I just, you know, give you a nice big long hug. But the signal's been coming through clear. We started doing the webcasting. I don't know, when was it, John? The audio part, about 3 or 4 years ago, audio webcasting. I would say it's about almost 4 years, five. And we were at the very leading edge of that, not a lot being done with the type of webcast that we do. Then we went into the video webcast, which created some other interesting challenges, but I think we've gotten through the technical difficulties, and I'm saying this, I'm like, shut up, Jeffrey. we don't need any trouble today. No jinxing. But it actually works very, very well. It allows Chambra from all over the world to connect and feel like they're part of it.
It's pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet. Speaking of all over the world.
Well, and it's cute, too, because people say, they actually talk about y'all. They actually talk about what they see. It's really
cute. Oh, yeah, we see David. Yeah. They want to meet David McMaster.
Yeah, yeah. It's really sweet.
They are just dying for his autograph. And they talk about Joe at the camera and other Joe and Vicky back there. And, of course, John, Roy, Sandra back in the kitchen. And they're jealous of that smorgasbord back there.
Oh, we need to talk about that.
I can tell a lot about a meeting by the quality of the food that's brought here. Last month was
that's where I'm going.
It was straight from dismal seepage, New Jersey.
Honestly.
I mean, it was like not very good.
Honestly, at least six regulars came up to me and said, you know, the spirit of the potluck here is kind of
waning.
Fizzing. And they said, maybe you haven't told people for a long time that we do this sharing thing in Coal Creek Canyon.
You bring food.
We bring food and you bring something to share with each other. Because we found out in
energy exchange.
It's energy, sure enough. And we found out that people in Europe, they didn't know what a potluck was until Crimson Circle.
Yeah.
So that's what potluck is, that you bring.
Potluck
you luckily bring the right stuff that people eat.
Yeah. Luckily nobody gets sick. But yeah, last month it was a little dismal.
Skinny.
Today it looks pretty good. I don't know if you can get a shot of that, Roy. We're going to have to get a Chambra cam.
Sandra, has it improved? What do you think?
Oh, there we go. At the back, Vicky's got a shot.
Is it improved?
Yes, okay, good. Okay. We're going to need to get a Chambra cam, John, you know, like a wireless. Somebody can run around outside. Roy wouldn't mind doing that. He could run around, take shots, and then run over there, close up of the
buffet.
Roy,
don't go there. Don't agree to it.
It'd be great. We'll do it.
Oh,
okay.
Goodness.
Good.
You guys are shameless.
Roy has gotten to be kind of a name. Well, not just a cameraman, but a name around Chambra now. He did the moderating last month for Mormons and other spiritual families, and gaining a little bit of a reputation. But anyway.
As what?
Moving
what
on.
What are they saying?
I can't tell. We got to go through. We have a lot of people here from out of town today.
And by the way, there's a lot of late sign-ups, so you're going to have to help me out here. We have Anne-Marie from Denmark. Is Anne-Marie here? Raise your hand. Hi, everybody.
Hi, how are you?
Glad you could be here.
What part of Denmark?
It's the biggest part.
The biggest. Oh, I know where that is. Sure. Sure, Denmark is kind of in broken up into different areas. Yeah.
Yeah, two big islands, and the capital, Copenhagen, is one of them.
Yeah.
And the biggest part is Jylland.
Oh.
Jylland. Well, great. Thank you for being here. Yeah. Kind of like Denmark here, huh? The nice, kind of like Denmark here. I'm kidding. Denmark is kind of flat. Beautiful, but flat.
Was that
I think the world is small.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for being here.
From Rotterdam, we have Wesley and Miriam DeHert. Where are you, Rotterdam? Oh, didn't make it. You snooze, you lose. Sylvia's not here yet. That's not so good either. Okay. From San Diego, we have Christine Nelson and a friend with her. Did you make it? Oh, no. Snooze, you lose. You missed your intro. And then he told me how to say this. Pyrus DeRees, is that close?
Yes.
Pyrus DeRees from Connecticut.
From Connecticut. First time here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And Margaret Pritchard from St. Louis. Where are you, Margaret? Oh, snooze, you lose. Not
they come Margaret. After we talk.
I know. It kind of makes me sad. And we have a couple people from South Africa here, Rory and Rory. Stand up.
Go ahead
and say
stand
hi.
Up so everybody can see you.
We're excited about that.
Welcome.
Penny and Rory.
Thank you. And what part of South Africa?
Cape Town.
And Linda's probably told you we definitely want to go to South Africa. There's a lot of
we're working out
wonderful
the details already.
There. Yeah, while we're just kind of going
they
around somewhere, we could just
connection.
Stop in and say hi. Yeah.
They have a
yeah.
good jumper connection, and he's excited. That always makes it more fun.
That makes
more
it
fun.
Helpful. And when did you get in?
Thursday.
Oh, jeez. Okay. We have all these people with jet lag. This will be an interesting channel. You have permission also to fall asleep. Yes, take a nap.
And then Joop is here, right?
Joop from Holland.
Hi.
How are you doing, Joop? And I know you got in on Thursday, and you're then on your way, I think, Monday for Lake Tahoe. For the sexual energy workshop or teacher training. Yeah. So good to see you again.
And who is there anybody else that's not on the list?
Anybody from a ways away that...
No? I think that's it.
Okay.
Okay.
With that, we'll start with a quick review of last month. Like I said, I had totally forgotten. It was a busy month. We had the monthly meeting, of course, early on. Then we did the Ask Tobias sessions. With NOST and also with Mormons and Spiritual Families, and then packed the bags and hit the trail. So it's been a long month. So when I read this last night, I thought, interesting shout. It was about consciousness expansion. Our guests were your personal correspondent, coming in again, Hosoff.
What was the name?
Hosoff. Not Hosoff. Hosoff. And
where did that name come from? And Oreo?
And Oreo, or Oseo.
Oreo and Hosoff. Okay, this is good channeling.
I don't know. You know, I just channel this stuff. If I was channeling and I had to stop and say, that's a really weird name, and it would just mess everything up. So I just say the words, let them fly right out of my mouth, and ponder it later.
They're not playing with you, are they?
No. Okay. But these are nice names. I wouldn't mind.
Does it mean something more than
Hosoff.
Hosing things off? Or?
No. It's just Hosoff is a it's a
that's
vibration.
Almost like a little boy pee name. That would
oh,
be a good name,
Linda.
Right?
Oh, jeez. Where is your brain today?
Little boy pee.
Where are you with this?
I'm doing it good, too.
And now you have to do a quick segue and play the part of Tobias in reading this next slide.
Oh.
Okay. Deep breath.
Oh, my slides are out of order. That's lovely. That was so much fun. You got to try that. Well,
I did when I was young. I still sneak out behind the barn once in a while. And
okay.
Go ahead.
Can you imagine a library of consciousness? The library is not filled with books and volumes. It's filled with energy and experiences. Those who come after you, many who have never been to Earth before, will go to the library. They will feel your experiences. They're not just going to study it. but they're going to feel it. What you're doing right now is part of the library. What you did last week, what we talked about in our last shout, is part of the library.
And what you just did in front of everybody is part of the library. Know it. They're going to go there and they're going to feel it. Get this whole library of angels walking around doing this funny thing. I'm not even going to pretend to do it. The shout last month was about consciousness and talking about how we can expand our consciousness, not in the old way, but in a very new way. And he also talked about the new earth being the library of everything that's happened on earth. Those who have never been in human form, who are coming this way, will go to the library to study. They're going to study our experiences, study what we've gone through for hundreds or thousands of lifetimes, and they're going to study not from the mind, not like we do when we go to the library, but they're going to study the feelings. They're going to feel the experience of what it was like. You know, Tobias has said since we began this, we're going through this process first. And that's why sometimes it's very, very difficult. There haven't been other beings, even the grand ascended masters, who he says really aren't grand or ascended. They're wonderful, but they're not like we think, these perfect beings. Even they have not gone this route. We're going first. Everything else follows. So everything we're going through, things you're going through in your life right now, the learning experiences and the consciousness expansion, we're doing it first so that others can learn. It's true pioneers and true trailblazers and sometimes true fools.
You said it.
He went on to say.
What you're doing is significant. Indeed, you are the masters. You are the first to go through this. And I, Tobias, ask you never to forget that. Never to forget who you are, what you are doing here on earth, why you are going through this time of energy transition from old into new, why we say you are teachers. You are teachers. You are Chambra. You are standards. You are setting the way for others.
It's very easy to think that Tobias is talking about somebody else, but he's talking about each and every one of us. It's real easy to forget on a day-to-day basis why we're here. Remember he said that you didn't need to be in this lifetime. Nothing karmic about this lifetime. You didn't have to be here, but you chose to be, to go through your own embodied ascension, go through experiences that are going to help others, break through some of the old consciousness barriers. So Tobias is continually reminding us to not forget who we are or what we're doing here. It's very easy. There's days that are challenging and difficult, days that you just wonder what it's all about. It's easy to forget because duality is like this huge, kind of like a magnet that has a way of sucking the enlightened consciousness right out of us. You know, we can learn and all these wonderful things. We can grow in tremendous ways. And then you get out in public or you go to an airport.
Or you call your family.
And like it sucked right out. And you get back into that old energy, back into that turmoil. But that's time to do what?
Breathe.
Take a deep breath. Thank you, Norma. She woke up from her sleep there. Breathe. What did he say? Breathe. It's time to take a deep breath. Time to remember who you are. Not how other people perceive you, but who you are, why you're here. And it's also a good time to invite in your Nost for the creative solution.
True enough.
He went on to say,
you let go.
That's a long one.
What?
That's a long one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to sit down. I'm going to take a break. A little Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, he's not short on words here. You let go of that form of human standard, which still has so many of you trapped, because it's such a deeply embedded belief system. You've spent lifetimes and lifetimes following that standard. It's gotten to the point where it's so definable. You can define somebody's intelligence quotient. You can divine their beauty and their strength and their wealth. But you're moving into a new type of standard, a new type of human and divine identity that right now, and probably for a long time to come, will defy any type of definition. How can you gauge or measure yourself against others, or even against yourself? The new human standard has consciousness. The new human standard expands out of their old and limited modalities and goes into expanded consciousness. That just felt cool just to even think about.
That was a cool slide. That's why I included the whole thing. Take a look sometime, even today, tomorrow. Take a look at the typical human standards right now. Typical way we measure and evaluate ourselves or our surroundings. Things like how big is your house? What's your IQ?
You're a genius.
Well, I am, actually. Well, thank you. Well, I never knew it until I get this email one day. And it said, take this IQ test online. And I thought, well, what the hell? I didn't know what my IQ was. So I went and took this test and had all these questions. It took about, I would say, 6 or 7 minutes to do this. And I went through the whole thing, and I pushed the button to get my score, and it flashed right in front of me. It said, you are a genius.
It's like, oh, your wife always knew that.
And it said, if you would like to find out more about just how smart you are, click this button here, which I did. And then for $29.95... I discovered that I was a genius, and I felt so damn good about it. So now I'm smart. George and
you got
I,
a
we're both real smart. All right, no political jokes here. Okay. Election is coming up soon. I actually did that, and Linda went and took the same test, but she was smarter than I because she didn't pay $29.95. So anyway, Linda's always reminding me how smart I am.
You're a smart guy.
Well, thank you.
I'm serious.
But moving along, the old human standards, what do we measure things by? Our IQs. You know, what kind of job you have, what kind of car you drive. These are the old...
What does IQ stand for?
Intelligence queen. You got jet lag here, Linda? Anyway, those are the old human standards, how we measure ourselves, particularly against other people. So Tobias said, we are the new standards. It doesn't matter a lot of these old things. IQ actually is actually a trap, I think. I know a lot of smart people really aren't that smart.
What does that mean to you?
It was a long story.
Okay,
but
it's
a trap to think you're smart because then, well, you think you're smart.
Yeah,
you think
you
know everything.
You go to your mind and you start feeding.
You're in your brain and you think you have all the answers. A beautiful thing is to think that, well, you don't have all the answers and then you can learn new things. It's amazing. Anyway, we're becoming the new standards. And Tobias talks here about a new standard of consciousness. Well, how do you measure consciousness? There's no book there. I might do an online web thing.
Used to be a halo
thing.
Used to get a halo.
Yeah. But how do you measure consciousness? And also, consciousness is changing all the time right now. It's expanding. So it's really difficult. But that's what we're here to do. We're here to be the standards of new consciousness, new enlightenment, and the embodiment of divine and human together.
Kind of cool, huh?
Yeah. Too cool.
Big job.
Yeah. He went on to say,
people going crazy individually, people are falling apart, your leaders falling apart, the churches hold a tremendous amount of suppressed sexual energy. They have to hold it because they have been suppressing it for so long. They've been in an imbalance with masculine energy denying the feminine. And speak of that.
Well,
whoa.
Yeah.
When did that bust? Wednesday?
Just the other day, and I forgot Reverend Haggard from Colorado Springs, not too far from here. Colorado Springs is like on one end of the spectrum. It's very conservative and a lot of military down there. John Kaderka lives there.
The National Rifle Association.
National Rifle Association.
The Air Force Academy.
There are more conservative religious broadcast from Colorado Springs than any other place in America. And Leslie's trying to get John out. But anyway, and then on the other hand...
He doesn't live right in Colorado Springs.
100 miles away, you have Boulder. Boulder is 28 square miles surrounded by reality. And it's liberal. It's a college town. It's like, it's so cool it went off the cool charts. I mean, it's kind of an interesting duality. But anyway, Tobias has talked for a while about the imbalance in the churches. I remember...
He's continued that.
He continues to hammer on that. A couple of years ago, he was talking about the walls will come tumbling down for the churches. And within 2 weeks was this first in a long series of disclosures about priests with inappropriate behavior with some of the young parishioners. This week we had a pretty big incident here. I think it was worldwide, actually.
I think it made national
nationwide,
news, yeah.
But about one of these evangelistic preachers. I can't even say it.
Creatures?
Preachers who has a big church down in Colorado Springs, has a following of, I think they said, about 5 or 6 million worldwide.
Well, he was the head of the Evangelical Society,
mm-hmm.
the number one guy, and there's like 5 million members.
And has all these broadcasts everything else.
Five
and
kids and a wife.
This week he was accused, and I underline the word accused, of having
he admitted to some of it.
Relations with a male prostitute for the past 3 years. And accused of buying drugs, but he just bought them out of curiosity. He didn't take them. All right, Bill Clinton, you didn't inhale. And I never took that trip. Right. Tobias says it's just going to keep heating up. Don't get caught in it. Don't think the world is falling apart. The world is just changing.
Let's see his picture.
Whose picture?
This guy.
Oh, I thought I took that out. I thought maybe that was pushing it, but I guess not.
It's been on TV. I think it's not a
surprise.
This
is Reverend Ted Haggard, a top evangelical leader who's accused of paying a male prostitute for sex, admitted today that he contacted his accuser for a massage. Right. And purchased amphetamine from him just to look at. Okay. You know,
The issue here too is that it's a gay relationship, and the sad part here is they say, I had some friends call me and say, do you understand that the reason this is really horrible is because it's so hypocritical that apparently he's been one of the most outspoken
about
anti-gay and really intolerant
family
and so,
values and everything else.
And so they're saying it isn't even. It's not even the issue of what he did as much as the hypocrisy of it. It makes
it
even worse.
It's kind of sad. Can you imagine the torment? Somebody, not necessarily Reverend Haggard, but somebody like that is going through, living in two worlds. If you're gay, celebrate it. Enjoy it. And you know, be a standard for your integration, for the 13th strand. If you take drugs, take them really good.
Buy them just to look at them.
Don't look at them. I mean, if you're going to take them, damn it, enjoy them.
Come on.
And, you know, but this living in these two worlds is kind of sad, you know.
Really sad.
And be who you are and be proud of it. I mean, and that's one thing that I am seeing with Chambra all over the world. They are being who they are. They're not afraid anymore to admit that they're into this new energy thing, into metaphysics, channeling, or whatever it is. And you know what? Most people don't care. I used to kind of not hide it, but keep it quiet. And I don't preach it, but I'm not ashamed of it. Get on an airplane and somebody says, you know, where are you going? What do you do?
Who are you telling them? You're sitting next to me.
Oh, it's my invisible friend I'm telling. You know. The gang.
Told you traveling was difficult.
We're always bumping into people, and they say, you know, what do you do? And I say, you know, we do spiritual education work. And then if they're interested, they ask more questions. What do you do? And I say, you know, I'm a channeler. And I would say 9 times out of 10, they're more interested than anything. Never had one that's tried to convert me, or once in a while you just get okay, and they go back to their book, and that's cool, you know. But anyway, so Tobias says that if you have an issue, within you right now. That hasn't come up. It's going to be coming up. He's not talking about Chamber. We went through that over the past 7 years. But if you have an imbalance, a masculine-feminine imbalance, like the good reverend, you know, it's going to come up. Hopefully, unlike him, it doesn't come up all over the headlines. I feel sorry for his family.
Splattering's not pretty.
But, you know, just all these issues, if you have an abundance issue, it's going to come up, particularly in these next 8 or 9 months of time. If you have other types of issues, right now there's so much duality energy out there. It's like two forces against each other, and what those forces are really doing is trying to find resolution. And you have a lot of those forces within you. They're just trying to find resolution. When you hide or when you lie is just going to make it worse. So
it's better I do this in public than.
Yeah, we got some issues here, but you know, you could see Norma after.
You know, it's really fun because this skirt kind of goes
that's
with
a,
it.
That's
so
a nice skirt.
I get to do a girl thing and a boy thing at the same time.
Yeah, it's a nice skirt. It's I know you got to play Tobias again.
Oh man!
All right, here we go. Anyway, we live in interesting times.
That's an interesting. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Pure consciousness has no agenda, but it has passion. Pure consciousness has clarity. Pure consciousness doesn't need direction or control. It's in a constant state of evolving and growth. Pure consciousness is the antithesis of conflict. Pure consciousness is beyond mind-thought description, but it can be felt.
I like that term, mind-thought. You know, it means that it's in the brain. It's what the brain can comprehend. But, you know, the brain is rather limited.
It can be experienced.
But it can be experienced, yeah. I like that term. But anyway, here he's talking about pure consciousness because he took us through an exercise last month, as I'm sure you remember, where we were feeling the standard of pure consciousness first within us and then within the entire group. So he kind of did, I don't want to say it was a meditation, but he walked us through feeling our own pure consciousness. And this was some of his explanation of what that's like. He went on to say,
let's take that standard right now. We've all been working in the background, ready to serve you today in this gathering to experience the standard of pure consciousness. A tiny particle of it, a mere morsel of it, is all you need. You don't need to grab all of consciousness at one time. It would blow your brains apart. But just a taste, just a drop, just a feel of pure consciousness.
Standard technology that Tobias Kathumi St. Germain talked about at the Midsummer Conference is an amazing thing. I know some people have been working with it in terms of their biology. And this is where you just connect with that absolutely pure, rejuvenated physical cell within your body, and you feel its essence, and then you let that radiate out to every other cell, even a diseased or an imbalanced cell. And it's a way of, I don't even want to use the term healing, but it's a way of rejuvenating our entire system. It becomes the standard or the example. He's talking about the standard of pure consciousness. You don't have to go in, you don't want to go in and try to figure out pure consciousness. You don't want to try to define it. You don't have to have the whole thing. He said, just a sliver, that pure, absolute state of wholeness and that absolute state of passion and clarity. And he took us through that exercise and said, just identify with that for a moment. That pure consciousness will send out its own radiance to every other thought in your mind, every other part of your consciousness. And as you work with that gently, you don't want to do it as a discipline, but you just work with these standard technologies that have an amazing impact on everything about you. So he went on to say,
this new high consciousness has absolutely no desire whatsoever to identify itself, because it realizes that it is losing the ultimate experience in consciousness if it locks itself into identity, if you lock yourself into identity. So you, the higher consciousness that is coming into play right now, has no desire to identify or protect itself.
This is actually a big point, a big issue, because normally our consciousness, our human consciousness, loves to lock in and then identify itself, create an identity, and then protect that identity. That's what we all have. We have a human name and a body to go along with it and an identity, and then we do everything we can to protect it. Tobias is saying that in the higher consciousness of yourself, this new standard consciousness, that it has no desire to create and to maintain its identity. It doesn't need to put a name on it. It doesn't need to define it in human terms or angelic terms. It is just consciousness. It's a difficult thing to even imagine because we're so used to everything is identified. We're so used to identifying ourselves, identifying other people. It helps us to create kind of a focus. It helps us to lock in on it. But if you remember the physics of what Tobias has talked about with energy, it always is seeking to evolve. So if you lock yourself into an identity, it's gonna be like trapped in a box, and it's going to want to get out. That's when you go through things like losing relationships, losing jobs, losing everything that you thought you were, because it's consciousness trying to evolve itself. He went on to say,
consciousness is an amazing thing. It is awareness, and it can stretch out. It can expand into other realms, other levels. And again, they're not linear levels. They are multidimensional. You've been focused here on just a few aspects of consciousness by design and by choice. But you've said, now is the time to go beyond. Now is the time to explore new consciousness, but not through mind thought. Not through mind thought. Through feelings, through sensations, through the imagination, through NOST.
Again, it's an important point. We talk about expanding consciousness, and it's very difficult for the human mind to understand what that is. It thinks just having itself, mind thought self, getting a little bit bigger, getting a little smarter maybe. But when you start to expand your consciousness multidimensionally, there's no way for the mind to comprehend where this is or what it is. So it's kind of a little bit of a tricky thing because you don't want to force yourself to expand because, well, that's the mind and it just doesn't know.
You can't.
So you can't. You can allow yourself to open up and expand. One of the most beautiful ways is through breathing because with the breathing, you're running energy through yourself. You've got part of your mind kind of focused on doing the breathing itself. So the rest of you can start to expand. You literally go beyond the mind. The difficult thing here is that the feelings and the sensations that you're getting are not necessarily the things the mind can understand. So sometimes you think you're just getting a big blank wall. You say, well, nothing's happening. Just keep breathing. And that divine part of yourself that goes beyond mind thought will start to get sensations. The mind might be thinking, well, there's nothing out there, I'm playing a game. But as you allow yourself to do this expansion, a whole different set of sensations, feelings, and I don't even know what to call them, experiences start to happen. It's going to boggle your mind a little bit because it doesn't understand and it goes into the defensive mode.
Isn't that
a
good thing?
Yeah. But it goes into the defensive mode and says, whoa, I don't know what's happening. Or worse yet, it says, there's nothing happening because my sensing devices or measurement devices aren't picking up anything. Just keep breathing, and pretty soon this other part of you, the divine intelligence that is not of the mind, opens up and you start to have these amazing experiences.
Well, it's that little thing, too, that, you know, if you just once get a taste, then you can start to build on that. And
exactly.
Once you've experienced it may just be in a fleeting moment, but then you build on that moment because once you've had a sense of it, you can make more space.
Absolutely.
For it.
He went on to say.
Yes, he did. As you bring in the new standard of consciousness into your life, you're going to get much more efficient. Everything. Higher levels of consciousness are more efficient. Lower levels or stuck levels are cumbersome, very clumsy. That's what you've been working with. These new levels of consciousness are going to involve efficiency on a scale that's difficult for the mind to comprehend. The mind works at its own cycles and patterns and limitations. So here you have new consciousness coming in and going to provide efficiency.
So that's a big benefit, I guess you would call it, of our expanded consciousness.
Does everything that replace busy?
It replaces busy.
Oh,
everything gets more efficient. And if you can imagine, you know, right now in a day-to-day, we kind of have to trudge through a lot of things. A lot of it, you know, we have to try to figure things out and do a lot of planning and all the rest of this. In the new consciousness, it's I don't know how to describe it. It's very efficient, and it's just there. The answers are there exactly when you need them. You don't have to struggle through all this stuff. You don't have life isn't a burden. It becomes actually very efficient, very quick. It's very difficult to explain. I guess I'm not supposed to explain it.
You're a genius.
Yeah, I know. I took that test. He went on to say,
every one of you has your home on the other realms. Go there. Spend some time there. Leave your mind at home here on Earth. Go there and walk through. It's you. It has your essence in it. It has your energy all around it. You build related energies in the other realms for two reasons. One, to help balance your energy here. And two, sometimes you'll build your home there on the other realms and then try to create the same type of thing here.
Tobias St. Germain have said that for everything we have on this realm, we have something corresponding on the other realms. But here we have it in material form. It's dense. It's we're in more of a restricted time and space type of environment. But on the other realms, we have our own corresponding energy. We have homes on the other realms. Not that we need it to protect us from the weather, but it is our more of a our spirit's home. Often we go there at night when we're dreaming. Tobias asked us for our homework to go there consciously. In other words, sit down, do a little breathing, and then imagine yourself in your home in the other realms. He did this partly as an experience of what it was like to expand your consciousness, to use the imagination. But also, he said, a lot of us haven't been to our homes on the other side in a long time. Things have changed. And I think in the next slide, he encourages us to, yes, go ahead.
The important thing here is in your non-physical home to be very aware, very aware. Your non-physical home is quite alive. It has its consciousness. Its consciousness is a reflection of you, aspects even of yourself that you're not aware of. You'll notice that when you go into the closets of your non-physical home or into the cellar, the basement, or look under the sinks or in the drawers. So don't just walk through, start exploring. You're going to find so many things that are going to be helpful to you and very valuable tools to you as you go through this phenomenal consciousness change in your physical self here on Earth right now.
You can discover a lot of things about yourself that might have been kind of hidden away or not ready to come out in this realm yet if you go out and visit your house in the other realms. And Tobias specifically said, go into the closets, go up into the attic or down into the basement and explore and allow changes to occur. If you haven't done this, it's a wonderful experience because you might walk into one room and it might be painted all blue and it might not make any sense at all, and that's okay. Walk into the next room, it might be decorated in Victorian style. Go into another room, and it's nothing but a dirt floor. But all these things mean something. You don't have to figure them out right now. But Tobias says go everywhere and explore because there's a lot of tools there. There's a lot of important concepts and consciousness there. So if you didn't do it this last month, great to do it now. Okay. We're going to talk about recent events.
Do you remember them?
No, but with the slides, it'll help. we had a great trip with Norm and Garrett to Europe, and we were there for 2-3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, almost 3 weeks.
Went back to Zurich, and wonderful group there. But they came in from all over for the Dreamwalker Death Transitions training.
For teachers.
For teachers. We limit these teacher schools to about 30, which is about what we had in Zurich.
That's right.
It was wonderful. It takes 4 days, but we go through everything about Dreamwalker Death, how to conduct the class, how to market your classes, how to plug in the equipment. Well, truly, we go through all the little details. This is a couple of shots of the group there. We had a great time. I love that environment because it's a, you know, it's a smaller group and we can become very interactive.
Pretty serious chamber, too.
Pretty serious. Yep. We went from there to Frankfurt, Germany, which we hadn't been there before. I like Frankfurt.
Yeah, we've been through the airport.
We've been through the airport, but no, we hadn't stopped there. We don't allow pictures in the sexual energy work school because we actually create a very safe and sacred space. And we don't want people flashing a bunch of pictures, and that's why we say no pictures. So I took a picture when we were in Heidelberg, just to show you, just for a filler.
Jeff.
What? It's a beautiful little...
That's like Jeff's travel book.
I know. I'm throwing my travel shots.
There's some people that might not like that.
And, a beautiful little village. If you ever get a chance, please go to Heidelberg.
Sweetie, is that the last...
Although,
is
no,
that the
at,
last tour
at
shot?
The sexual energy school, we did have something on the last morning that was beautiful, and I did ask permission to take a photograph. We had a wedding ceremony.
Yes.
Two beautiful young Chambra who actually met in Linz, Austria at the Tobias workshop in September, fell madly in love with each other, and Norma, Garrett, Linda, and I married them in Frankfurt in front of 175 people attending
really
the sexual energy school.
Really sweet.
So very sweet. So
congratulations to them.
Wolfgang and Katarina. So we hope your honeymoon is going well, and we hope it never ends. So anyway, it was great school. We had a good time. Also this last month, we're the first teacher-presented Dreamwalker Death Transition Schools. This is a shot of Maggie Hofgarten's school in Salt Lake City. I think she had about seven or eight people at the school.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. And there were others. This was the only one that I had a photo of. But it is so cool to watch Chambra evolve and watch them go out there and start teaching.
Well, like even Maggie had some people that were spiritual but not specifically Chambra. So that was exciting to see that it's all people already feeling a sense without necessarily being Chambra, so to speak.
So, yeah, we had a lot of good things happening with that.
Oh, look at that.
I know. I find all these great pictures and the upcoming events.
She forgot her outfit.
I know. That's her angel fairy outfit. That's the way they are out in the woods, Linda. You know.
Your fairies might be.
Upcoming events.
Mine were ball gowns and... You know,
well,
have really
it was
fluffy
a warm
wings.
Summer or fall night, and she just didn't want to be wearing a lot.
Okay, fine.
But clothing is not a natural thing for angels, you know.
Yeah, you know, I've adapted to it really well.
It's a human thing. Anyway, upcoming events, we have quite a few teacher-presented Dreamwalker schools in the next 2 months, and then I think we have another 30 scheduled into 2007.
I think we should give our new teachers a big hand.
I do, too. Yeah.
I would like to add that their experiences and their feedback is already helping us teach teachers. That, in other words, they're giving us feedback and understandings that are allowing us to keep the program going, to make sure that we build it and that we get this going. So these are pioneers, too, and we're really, really thrilled about it.
And really proud.
Really proud. It's just the best.
Speaking of teachers, we're heading out tomorrow again for the Lake Tahoe office where we're doing a... teacher training for the sexual energy school. This would be the first teacher training that school. And if you've gone through the sexual energy school, you know it's probably the toughest material and what I would consider the best material that Tobias has to offer. It's not about sex. It's about an energy virus that many times takes form in very sexual ways, other times just very feeding ways. We've had some wonderful schools.
Amazing.
And now we're training teachers to go out and give the school also. We're doing a regular school, just regular school, for sexual energies in Tokyo, Japan in a couple weeks.
That's right.
And then off to Sydney, Australia.
That's right.
Keeping busy, keeping out of trouble. And then we're doing a Dreamwalker Death Transition School in conjunction with Katarina Padula in Australia, in Adelaide. Right after that.
I'm sorry to go back, but those two sexual energy schools, the one in Japan and the one in Australia, are the last two that I believe we're going to present.
Those are the last ones. Sydney will... Oh, no, there's one more. I forget.
It's a, no.
No?
It's an evolution.
Okay.
Based on your opinion.
So anyway.
official. Those
moving
are
ahead, we have the Crimson Circle School 2. This is what we call the fun school.
Oh, this is the one you treat yourself to?
We're to buy it. Yeah, but it's sold out. So,
sorry.
Yeah, next year. We do it every January in Kauai, usually with a group of about 30 Shambra, and we just have a great time. We do a few channels. Tobias talks about what it was like descending from the angelic realms and coming into Earth, taking on a physical body. So it's good information, but it's a good time.
And those are real tourist pictures from Jeff, too.
They are. those we really took. We saw
Jeff,
that rainbow.
Some people that don't like those pictures.
Driving down the road, and that rainbow just appeared. It was amazing.
It's a double rainbow, too. It's
yeah.
And that's a big canyon. It's okay, enough about it.
Okay. February will be in Tel Aviv, Israel, for a new energy balancing workshop. Looking forward to going back to Tel Aviv. And we have such strong Shambra there.
Oh, we've got a magic team. It's really great.
They're incredible.
Great.
So that'd be good. We've had to cancel twice because of situations. And we finally said, we don't care what's going on. We're going to be there.
Watch what you say.
We're going to be there. So from there, we go to Zurich, Switzerland in late February for sexual energies teacher training. Again, a small group of about 30. Oh, and that was it for the calendar for right now.
I know.
Yeah, a few news items, and then we're almost there. A few news items. The Ask Tobias sessions about NOST and also Mormons and spiritual families are now out. You can order them on the web through the Crimson Circle store. Those are really good sessions.
I get bugged because actually I think the Mormon one is a little bit misnamed because it focuses on them as an example of a spiritual family, but
it's not just about them.
No, not at all. It was really interesting information, and I liked it because he wasn't talking about religion. He was really talking about our spiritual family. So it's really the topic is far more broader and more informative than the title implies.
But he talks about how we tend to stay with our spiritual families, and he talks about how we are representatives for our spiritual families, many of whom, most of whom have never come to Earth before, and they're kind of waiting for us to go through a process. And he talks about
some suggestions,
our relationship with our spiritual family right now, not a whole lot of different than our relationship with our biological families. Another thing is, it's kind of a fun thing. There's a Shambra down in Texas, Dan Benick, who has decided that he's just going to take a year, well, 9 months, travel around the world, visit Shambra.
Is he going to have a baby at the end?
Many different countries as he can, and write a blog. So, you know what a blog is, you know, it's like a online diary. And we can keep up with traveling Dan's Shambra adventures for about 9 months. It will, this is a picture of Dan ready to go. He's going to show up here in January for the first meeting of the year, and this will be his send-off. From there, he goes off to New Zealand, Australia, Asia, Europe, South America, Canada, and then he'll end up back in the U.S. for the Quantum Leap celebration in Taos, New Mexico. So he's going to, I thought that was such a cool thing. And every month we're going to track, where is Dan? What's been going on with Dan? And so it'll be kind of a fun Shambra thing. And he'll give us reports of what Shambra in all these other countries are doing right now. So watch for more detail about Traveling Dan.
Fun, huh?
Yes, the Shambra Music Festival was something we were going to do at the Midsummer Conference, and it got so busy that we never did live there. So what we've done is we listened to all the tapes. The winners were selected recently, and we put their music online. If you go on the homepage, you can actually listen to the three finalists. The winners of the competition were Gina Satoli, who sang Breath of Spirit. She won the $2,200 prize for first place. And then the runners-up were Paul Vendant and Tam Katzen. So if you want to listen to some original music by Shambra, you can listen to it right online. And this is also kind of a pre-launch for the Crimson Circle Tunes, which is going to be our own music label. So we're going to be able to promote music online, digital downloads, and things like that. distribution of all things like books and music and all that is changing. It's amazing.
It's evolving very quickly.
Oh, next slide. We have a really special guest with us here today. Jeanette Crowley has been a friend for years. She's joined us at the Midsummer New Energy Conferences, I think, for the past 4 years. And she has an amazing thing that just happened yesterday. Her new book just came out. So we've asked
her to... Hot off the press.
Hot off the press. We've asked her to come and share a little bit about the book and show Chambra... Show Chambra what you have. Come on up, Jeanette. How about a big hand?
Welcome. Glad you're here.
Oh, yes, you need a mic. David's sleeping with Norman Garrett over here.
So not exactly.
So to speak, you know, in a manner of speaking.
Or else I'll just get really close to Lyndon.
Talking to your microphone.
All right.
That's too close.
Anyway, it's all yours. Thank
Would
you.
Would never make
Thank
you do that.
You. Well, wait, before you leave. Jeff was kind enough to read a manuscript before it was printed. And before it was printed, I only received the first books yesterday afternoon by air shipment. So you can still
just
smell
in time.
The print. The
I love that
ink.
Smell. Hot off the press, yeah.
Anyway, Jeff was kind enough to say on the back of the book he's featured with other people like James Twyman and Lynn Andrews.
Cool.
With this book, Jeanette continues her passion for lifting people to the very edges of human consciousness. She does it with grace and humor that keeps you reading and smiling. So for that, and for just being Jeff and Linda, I am offering you the very first book from the very first box.
Cool.
So thank
we
you
will
very much.
We will treasure it. Thank you. Jeanette has the books over here, and also... If you don't mind doing a plug for you, on your website.
Yes.
Soon, because I looked last night.
It's on now.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
See how things change so quickly. How efficient.
Well, I think it is, unless we didn't get the right website.
Doesn't matter.
But anyway.
It'll be on your website.
It is on my website, and it's a beautiful website. It's a long name. www.theeagleandthecondor.com. Because I don't have distributors yet, it's not in any bookstores. You can only buy it here and on theeagleandthecondor.com. So I wanted to talk about it. So
Good,
thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Glad you're here.
Thank you. It's called The Eagle and the Condor, a true story of an unexpected mystical journey. I named it that. Actually, it named itself that. After an ancient native prophecy that says when the eagle of the north flies with the condor of the south, of South America, there will be peace on earth. I heard that prophecy from a Native American medicine man who is a dear friend of mine just weeks before I led a trip to Peru in 2004. I liked the prophecy. It was lovely. And of course, my main guide is White Eagle. So I liked the eagle part of it. So imagine you're with a group of 23 people. For 3 days, you've trekked the Inca Trail up and down, and finally, you're at Machu Picchu. And you see the green terraces and the jagged mountains and the clouds. You climb up to the highest promontory, which is the Pyramid of the Sun. You're there at the Temple of the Sun, and your tour guide, Malku, is sharing about the history of the place. And all of a sudden, you fall through a wormhole in time. And you aren't a tourist in 2004. You are an Inca priestess. And what's more amazing, another one of your fellows in the group, at exactly the same time, without words, falls through that same wormhole and knows herself as an initiate. Without talking, you both simultaneously move from the group to an edge of the temple. You perform a sacred ceremony that you both remember, but neither of you remember, but you both know. And imagine things like that happening again and again over 3 weeks in the Andes. And some of those events tied in for me activities and strange, unexpected occurrences that had happened decades before. So I just returned from Peru, and within 2 days, my inner voice said, "You have to write a book." I argued with that inner voice. I don't have time to write a book. It's not on my to-do list. And if I had known I was to write a book, you could have told me to take some notes. It was insistent. And furthermore, the voice insisted that I go back to Peru, this time alone. The eagle and the condor. At the last minute, the first time we went to Peru, there were several people who canceled the trip. One was my husband, who decided he didn't want to go to the Amazon. When I first signed up the trip and put it together, I hired an Andean shaman tour guide to lead our group. As soon as I set eyes on Malku in Cuzco, I knew he was my twin flame. I didn't believe in twin flames until I saw him. So with three people canceling at the last minute, for 3 nights in the Amazon, Malku, who was a complete stranger in this life, but a soul I knew so well, was my roommate in a thatched hut in the Amazon. And I'm a very loyal wife, just to tell you that. So much happened. And so the book talks about amazing things, and I really wrote it on three levels of value. The first level, it's a great story. It's just a fascinating story. The most common comment I get is, "I couldn't put it down." In fact, I want to read dear Linda Hansen's comment when she read just part of the manuscript. One of our Chambra. Wave, Linda. Yay. I loved what she said. She says, "I've been reading it and can't put it down. It has been transforming for me. I'm absolutely drawn spiritually and energetically to your words and works. To say it is fascinating would truly be inaccurate, because it goes so much deeper than that. This is a great book, so well written, entertaining, and enlightening. You're doing great work for consciousness." Thank you. I get tears in my eyes thinking of that. So the first level is, it's a great story. And I wrote it so that Chambra could read it and others and feel comfortable loaning it to your sister or your husband, people who aren't really into the same depth of things we are. Then at the second level of writing, it has such practical wisdom and spiritual truth. I have so much there from my guides Mark and White Eagle. Words like, "Don't make love, let love make you." Words like, the most dangerous part of ego. I better read it. I have a chapter called The Wisdom of the Grandmothers. The more dangerous side of ego is pretending to be less than the greatness we are. And so, in many ways, it's actually a guidebook to help illuminate your own journey. Because truly, books about someone else's journey bore me. It wasn't just my thing. So, this book is your journey written by me, and I think you will see yourself in so many pages. I wanted to read what another Chambra person from Argentina said when she read the manuscript. "I devoured the book. I could have read and read and read. I'm fascinated. It's incredible how it felt like I could have lived that experience. You cannot imagine what the text means to me. It shines the way I have to walk." So my goal is it illuminates your path. And the third level of value of the book is really why the guides were insistent that I write it, because there's a lot of fabulous books out there. The book itself is a vehicle for spiritual acceleration. I include the actual meditations, the initiations, the shamanic journeys as they came out of my mouth, or as Malku performed them on the top of Machu Picchu on a full moon. And when you read those, you will feel the energies. I had one friend and she said, I didn't want to stop, but there was just too much energy. That's the real reason. It's an entertaining vehicle for your spiritual breakthrough. So I'm just so proud that it's here. It was 2 years of writing something I didn't even want to write. And I'm really proud of it. Another Chambra person, Corey Fowler, designed the fabulous cover. My sister Erin took the picture of Malku that's on the back. And it's a very personal book. As I wrote it, I was afraid, what would Malku think that I'm saying so much about so much? And he totally supported it. He's a wonderful spiritual guide and shaman in the Andes. So I'm happy to sign the book, and when I do, I will energize it with the initiation, so they will be activated for you even more when you read the book. So it's a pleasure to announce it here first to Chambra. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, and thank you for making it a first here in Coal Creek Hall with Chambra. Congratulations. I know so much work, love, everything else goes into a book. It's a big deal when it comes out. So we have it here first. We've also asked Johnette if she would join Linda and I in the questions and answers today. So you can ask Tobias, White Eagle, both, whatever, during the Q&A session. So that'll be kind of fun. So thank you. Big hand for Johnette. Thank you. I know what time it is.
Time to check out that smorgasbord.
Time to thank all the Chambra angels for your love and support.
It's
amazing as we travel around the incredible infusion of energy that comes from Chambra. And we just want to thank you. Norman Garrett want to thank you. And the staff out in Lake Tahoe, we truly appreciate it. It keeps us going. And David said before, I don't know how they do it.
That's
David,
how.
When you're riding on that Chambra love, it is so easy. Now, if we could just train the flight attendants on airliners to have that same Chambra love, we'd be great. We're going to take a 20-minute break and come back for a little channel.
Whoa.